Joining us now, our regular political observers, columnist E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, also of Georgetown University, and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome once again.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, in Coral Gables, Florida, at the University of Miami, we will have the first presidential debate of 2004, starting at 9 Eastern Time. It's to be devoted to foreign policy. E.J., how important is it?
It's the whole thing. It's the big enchilada. I mean, there's just no way around how important it is, particularly to John Kerry, where Kerry had a lead, lost that lead, and I think has an opportunity to force the race to President Bush and also to create an appealing image of himself. So I think it matters hugely.
David, you agree?
No. I think it's a small enchilada, the little taco. I think it'll be a medium deal. Mm-hmm. I think a couple things to look for. First of all, I think John Kerry will move up in the polls. If you look at people's approval ratings of John Kerry, he's around 38%, which I think, as the Washington Post put it, is down about where O.J. Simpson is. So people will look at him, and they'll think, oh, he's better than we thought he is. So I expect him to be humanized a little and move up a little in the polls. But if you look at history, if you look at debates that have actually mattered, it's very rare that somebody helps themselves. Sometimes it happens that somebody hurts themselves. Michael Dukakis, Walter Mondale, Gerry Ford hurt themselves. So unless somebody really flubs, I don't think the debate will have a big impact.
See, I disagree in terms of the history of debates. There's no one who helped himself more than Ronald Reagan twice. In the first debate, and I think there is some comparability here, Reagan needed to reassure the country that he wasn't a scary guy, that he wouldn't start a war, that he was reasonable, and he did that. That's what he needed to do. And, of course, in the second debate, he pushed aside the age issue with that famous quip that he wouldn't hold Mondale's youth against him.
Well,
and so,
in 1984, that was simply the icing on the cake. He was going to win pretty much.
Although after the first debate, he caused himself some real problems. The first debate fits more in with David's analysis, where he caused himself some real problems and then fixed it up in the second debate. And the key for Kerry is to have us arguing about Bush's record. In fact, Al Gore offered some advice today to John Kerry in a very, I think, insightful and funny piece. And he said that Kerry's obligation is to go at what Bush said 4 years ago, that he'd allow import of drugs from Canada, that his tax cuts would create jobs. And I'm reading from Gore here. Above all, he pledged that if he put American troops into combat, the force must be strong enough so that the mission can be accomplished and the exit strategy needs to be well defined. And then Al Gore said, comparing these grandiose promises to his failed record, it's enough to make anyone want to, well, sigh.
Of course, Vice President Gore's sighing in the debate in 2000 has been cited as one of those nonverbal moments that can somehow influence the way people digest a presidential debate.
Yeah, and I guess our focus here suggests that it's more for John Kerry than for Bush. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Bush, unless he does something totally idiotic, will affect people's view of him. They've had 4 years. What Kerry's got to do is a little trickier. He's got to attack Bush and really take him down, at the same time appear likable himself. And that's a tough circle to square.
Let's talk a little bit about the substance of the most contentious foreign policy issue there is, which is the war in Iraq. The country, many people in the country think it wasn't sufficient reason for us to go in, to go to war. Something terribly wrong is going on there. And many people think, things are going to work out all right, and the policy was prudent. Are we likely to get some discussion of substance of this rather important example of U.S. Military and foreign policy? What do you think?
I think we actually will. And I think John Kerry will give a pretty good diagnosis of what's wrong in Iraq and why things are going badly, a diagnosis I'll probably agree with. What he will not do, I suspect, if his record in the past few weeks is any indication, is give a different policy. He really has different diagnosis of where it's going, but the policy is pretty much the same. The only place John Kerry differs from George Bush on where we should go ahead is he would say he would bring in more allies. But France and Germany have said they're not coming in, so that's really not.
And he would try
to
get U.S. troops out within 4 years, he said as well.
Well, that would be an interesting moment. If we could get to that moment where George Bush would say, I'm in there to win, to create some sort of democracy, and John Kerry would make clear, no, I'm not in there for that. I'm in there to get us out of there because it's a mess. And there, for the first time, and this has sort of been muddy throughout the whole campaign, we really would have a contrast of where you want to go in the future.
You know, what's interesting is these debates are sometimes the intrusion of good government on an otherwise really bitter and nasty fight. In this case, this debate is incredibly well-timed because what Bush and Kerry have been arguing about for the last week and a half is Iraq. And Kerry gave his speech on Iraq, which was the clearest statement of his position he's given in the campaign. And I think in a way, Kerry's task is to prove that what David just said is actually not true. Kerry needs to make an argument and will make some kind of argument saying, look, our policies aren't the same because I wouldn't have done anything the same as you have done it up to now. And he's going to ask the question, how can you trust Bush to get us out of this mess hole if he's been wrong on so many points up to this point?
I don't totally disagree with that. I think there's one issue in addition, which is the character issue, which is revealed through policy in Iraq. I think a lot of people would agree that George Bush has been incompetent in some ways. This war has been managed, especially the post-war world. But that, I think a lot of people still do have a sense that he has the primary virtue, which is a correct diagnosis of the war on terror and an ability to stay focused and stay firm in the face of adversity. And people have those doubts, primary doubts, about John Kerry.
A very key rhetorical difference between Democrats and Republicans, that the war in Iraq to President Bush and the Republicans is a front in the global war on terror. The Democrats tend to speak of it as something that was elective and something totally
a diversion, as John Kerry says, yeah.
from what was happening in Afghanistan.
And of course, if this is the central front on the war on terror, then the war on terror isn't going very well, which is something I think you're also going to hear tomorrow. And I think this notion of defining what the war on terror is quite central to this debate.
Can the two of you please try to explain to people who are listening to you right now and who listen to you regularly here and read your columns and are engaged in American politics, explain to them the, whatever it is, 5, 10, 10 to 20, 25% of Americans who are undecided about the presidential race after all these months. Who are they?
Well, I think there are two kinds of people, at least in that category. There are people who are genuinely cross-pressured on issues. For example, people who are staunchly right to life on abortion but anti-death penalty and care about social justice, or libertarian on abortion but in favor of big tax cuts. So there are people who are genuinely cross-pressured. And then I think there's another group of people who would kind of like to fire George Bush but just can't bring themselves to John Kerry yet. The Bush campaign has built a wall between them and Kerry, and Kerry's job is to tear down that wall, if I can invoke a Republican president.
Yeah, in my personal circle, the people I know who are undecided supported the war on terror but think it has been mismanaged so much that they just can't get to reelecting these guys. They think this is the kind of incompetence that deserves to be voted out of office. But then they look at Kerry and they're stuck. And so they're stuck there in the middle, and they want some reassurance from either side. And those people Kerry could win over. The other group of people who I think are by far the larger group of undecideds are what our mutual friend Dave Winston, the pollster, calls solutionists. They really don't care about the war on terror. They really don't care about big ideological issues. If they cared about those things, they'd be decided. They are looking for somebody who can offer a concrete solution to a problem they face every day. And those people are not going to be satisfied with this first debate about foreign policy. They'll wait for the second or third, looking for something on health care.
Where's my health insurance going to come from? How do I buy drugs?
They hate politics. The thing that drives them away is partisan attacks, which they see as part of the political system, which they hate.
E.J. Dionne, David Brooks, we'll be hearing from both of you again on Friday. We'll actually talk about what happened in this presidential debate. And thanks for coming in again today.
Thank you.
Thank you.